Morning. We have two cases scheduled for argument this morning. We understand counsel in those cases have announced ready and declared the time that you wish to take for your argument. That being the case, we'll call Texas Bank Institute, PA, doing business as Texas Bank Institute, and William D. Bradley, MD, versus Brenda Peters.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. The court has before two cases today that involve Section 74351 and challenges interlocutory appeals regarding those expert report cases. This particular case presents the court with a very specialized issue, and that is whether the expert that tendered the report in the case is qualified to render opinions on the standard of care and breach of the standard of care required of the defendant physician, Dr. Bradley, in this case. This case involved the allegations of a retained sponge following the performance of a microdiscectomy surgical procedure performed by Dr. Bradley. The plaintiff, subsequently to the surgery, suffered severe pain. And later it was discovered that a surgical sponge had been retained after the spine procedure. The plaintiffs filed suit in this case and timely tendered and served a report of Dr. Berkowitz, who is an infectious disease board-certified specialist. And Dr. Berkowitz's opinions address the standards of care required of Dr. Bradley regarding the surgical treatment of the patient in this case. The applicable standards that he identified applied to Dr. Bradley included, number one, that all foreign materials be accounted for at the end of a surgical procedure. Number two, that to perform a sponge and needle count to ensure that nothing is left inside the patient. Number three, if a doctor undertakes the duty to count the sponges, the doctor must correctly count the sponges. And number four, to obtain an X-ray after completion of the procedure to determine whether a foreign body has been left within the patient. What these standards apply to is the prevention of a retained sponge or retained object in a patient during surgery. The defendant timely objected, and on the 120th day, Dr. Berkowitz submitted an addendum to his report addressing the objections to his qualifications by stating that that the care of a patient with a retained foreign body is within the field of expertise of any infectious disease specialist. That is, the care of a patient with a retained foreign body. He relies on his experience working with surgeons in hospitals as well as working on quality assurance committees as the basis for showing his knowledge and training. As this court is aware, Section 74351 requires that to serve as an expert, the expert must qualify with the standards set out at Section 74.401 contained within the statute. That is, that the physician must be practicing medicine at the time the testimony is given or the procedure arose, has knowledge of accepted standards of medical care for the diagnosis, care, or treatment of the illness, injury, or condition involved in the claim, and is qualified on the basis of training or experience. And this court and the trial court may consider, in looking at training and experience, whether the physician is board certified and is actively practicing medicine and rendering the type of care and treatment to which he's offering an opinion. The issue here is whether Dr. Berkowitz is qualified to render an opinion regarding what Dr. Bradley should or should not have done during the surgical procedure to prevent the retention of a foreign object in the patient's body. Dr. Berkowitz is not shown to be qualified. What his report does state shows that he might be qualified to render an opinion regarding the care of a patient once that patient has been diagnosed with a retained foreign body, develops an infection, and requires care. He's provided no proof that he's qualified regarding any training or experience as to any surgical procedure, how a sponge count is performed, when it's performed, who performs it, or what is required. At what time during the procedure is a sponge count to be done? Do more than one sponge count occur in this particular procedure. We don't have any of that information provided by Dr. Berkowitz within his report. We have provided to the court several cases that we believe provides the court and the trial court with guidance concerning the standards applicable to qualify the physician that was required in this case. And essentially what the plaintiffs are saying is that Dr. Berkowitz can be qualified because his knowledge in working with surgeons, in working on this quality assurance committee, his knowledge is gained from working with those folks, and essentially that knowledge is overlapping in the care that he provides as an infectious disease specialist so that he then becomes qualified to render an opinion here. Well, that conclusory type of statement on qualification and overlapping procedures has been rejected by several courts of appeals, including the Eastland Court of Appeals in Foster versus Avala, which we cited for the court. In that particular case, the expert was looking at a misdiagnosis of a blood flow issue regarding the care and treatment of a podiatrist. A cardiovascular surgeon rendered the opinion regarding standards of care required of the podiatrist and said that there was a significant overlap among subspecialties that treat diabetic patients, such as the patient in that case, and that the standard of care would be the same for a cardiovascular surgeon as it would have been for a podiatrist in diagnosing this blood flow condition. The Eastland Court of Appeals held that that particular statement regarding the fact that there would be a subspecialty overlap is conclusory and insufficient by itself to show that this cardiovascular surgeon was qualified to render opinion as to the podiatrist in the case. With respect to the service of Dr. Berkowitz on a quality assurance committee, we've provided the court with the case of Methodist Healthcare System versus Rangel. This particular case involved an emergency room physician who rendered an opinion regarding the proper preoperative procedure that a urologist must follow prior to surgery. And in that particular case, the San Antonio Court of Appeals concluded that because the expert in that case had said, I work on a quality assurance committee, and I have learned about the proper pre-surgical procedures that are required of patients by examining 10 to 20 cases per month in my work through a quality assurance committee. The San Antonio Court of Appeals said, without showing that there was experience on that committee that dealt with the preoperative procedures required of a urologist, that is, the specific medical care that was the issue in the case, simply stating service on a quality assurance committee or that type of risk management background and training was not enough to show that the expert was qualified to render opinions on the standard of care. And finally, Dr. Berkowitz says, well, I've worked with physicians. He doesn't say anywhere in his report or his addendum what he did working with surgeons, whether it involved medical care, whether it involved administrative care, whether it involved something outside the medical realm entirely, just says, I've worked with surgeons. Well, as this court knows, there's simply no validity to the notion that every medical doctor can be qualified on every issue, and simply working with surgeons without an explanation of what that work involved, and here specifically that it involved Dr. Berkowitz working with surgeons concerning the procedures that are followed during surgery to perform sponge counts and to prevent the retention of a sponge, then there's been no showing that Dr. Berkowitz is qualified to render that opinion here. Could he talk about how a patient should be cared for who has an infection, who has a retained object that's caused an infection? Absolutely. He says he's qualified to do that in his opinion, but he says nothing more. Now, the plaintiffs here want to rely on this court's case, Moore versus Gattaca, to argue that this is the same type of a situation as this court faced in Moore versus Gattaca. And that case involved a laparoscopic appendectomy. And the surgeon that rendered an opinion regarding the alleged breach in the closing of the patient at the end of the procedure was not a surgeon that was experienced in laparoscopic procedures, but rather was a surgeon that seemed to be, from the opinion, who was experienced in an open abdomen surgery rather than a laparoscopic. And this court said, because the issue, the medical care that was related to the case, dependent on the proper conclusion, that is, closing an appendectomy, the same standards applied whether it was laparoscopically performed or whether it was an open procedure. And in that case, because the surgeon did have experience in closing that type of a situation, this court concluded that the surgeon was qualified and did not need to specifically be qualified in the laparoscopic procedure. In this case, Dr. Berkowitz, again, failed to show that he has any experience in any type of surgery, that he's ever performed surgery, studied it, nothing. We have nothing in the record, in the expert, first report that was submitted, or the addendum that was submitted on the 120th day, and his CV cannot give us any additional information to use to supplement that. This court must conclude then, we believe, under the prevailing standards of what is required to qualify a physician to render an opinion on the standard of care applied to another physician, that the trial court abused its discretion in denying the appellant's motion to dismiss in this case. While the trial court did not expressly state that it made its ruling on another issue, and that is whether a report was even required on the issue of res ipsa, we have included that issue in our brief and provided to this court to preserve the issue that an expert report is expressly required in a healthcare liability claim. There is no exclusion or exception from the requirement of an expert report for a res ipsa case, such as a retained object case. If the trial court denied the motion to dismiss because it, as the appellee argued, there was no need for an expert report on the standard of care or breach, then that would also be an abuse of discretion because 74351A requires a report in a healthcare liability claim such as this, again, makes no exception for a res ipsa case. And 74351R6 requires the expert report specifically on a standard of care, breach of the standard of care and causation in every healthcare liability claim. Res ipsa is an evidentiary rule, and it provides this rule for use at the time of trial. There's no case. In fact, the Texas Supreme Court in the Murphy case that we have provided for the court in the briefing said that the legislature envisioned that discovery and the ultimate determination of what issues are submitted to the fact finder should not go forward until at least one expert has examined the case and opined as to the applicable standard of care. And so, stating that in the Murphy case, several courts of appeals have concluded since that time. We've cited to the court the Haddad case, the Marshall R case, Fields versus Metroplex Hospital Foundation, the Hector case, and this court in considering 4590I, but subsequent to the Murphy case, in the Gerkoff versus Jersak case, has explained that Murphy stands for the proposition that healthcare liability claimants must comply with the expert report requirements for a res ipsa case such as this. Finally, Your Honors, the appellees have stated that if this court concludes that Dr. Berkowitz is not qualified to render his opinions in this case, that it was an abuse of discretion to deny the defendant's motion to dismiss, that this court should not grant that relief, but should rather remand the case back to the trial court to allow the trial court to consider whether an extension to cure that report is warranted here. We believe that this case does give the court an example of what Justice Willett has referred to in numerous cases as a Plummer-type report, where the expert is so unqualified that the report, as a matter of law, is essentially no report at all. And for that reason, that we would urge that the court should grant the relief that the trial court should have granted and dismiss the case with prejudice.
Are there any opinions that you feel that any graduate from a medical school would be qualified to offer as far as an expert report?
A graduate of a medical school?
Let's say that Dr. Bradley removed the good lung and left the cancerous lung in the body. Do you think that it takes we'll call him lung removal specialist for purposes of today, to offer the opinion that that's below the standard of care? Or do you think that any graduate from a recognized medical school could offer the opinion that that's below the standard of care?
I don't believe that any graduate could. I think a graduate that comes forward and says that they have the knowledge, training, and experience regarding the preoperative procedures that are required to identify the correct lung and what's required of the surgeon preoperatively to do that, then a physician in a different school of practice, an anesthesiologist, might be able to render an opinion with regard to a surgeon, for example, if they overlap and they both do those same types of care. Here, Dr. Berkowitz treats patients that already have a retained sponge. He doesn't say anywhere in there he's ever even done a surgery or been around a surgery. He is getting the patient after the fact. And so for that reason, Your Honor, the case law, including Broder's from the Texas Supreme Court, is that every medical physician is not automatically qualified on every medical issue.
Thank you, Ms. Faust. Mr. Ridge.
Good morning.
Morning.
If it pleases the court, counsel. I'm bothered as a practitioner of probably about 36 years when counsel stands before this honorable court and talks about prevailing standards. The difficulty that the bar and our state has is what the initial intent was when the statute was passed. And I believe we have, with all due respect to everyone in this courtroom, I believe the matter has been perverted. I believe that there is no prevailing standard in the state of Texas to allow either plaintiff's counsel or defense counsel or honorable brethren of the courts of appeals to have a definitive sense as to what passes muster and what does not. Recently, a member of this honorable court at least presented in ruminations about where we are and where we are going. And that was in the case of Collini that was decided by this honorable court on February 12th of this year. It was in a concurring opinion that one of your brethren talked about. To qualify as an expert, a person must demonstrate some knowledge beyond what a lay person would have. To qualify as an expert, some basis for their knowledge. Dr. Berkowitz, I have used only once before. I sought him through a well-respected member of the medical profession in San Antonio. I have used him on a similar case in El Paso, represented by extremely able counsel, with a similar report, with a similar sponge left in the spine, and there was no challenge. Dr. Berkowitz attempts, through the totality of his reports and his vita, to tell us that he was on staff at the Methodist Ambulatory Surgical Hospital. He goes on to tell us that he served as the medical director of the Intermediate Medical Care Unit at Southwest Texas Methodist in San Antonio. He goes on to tell us that he was the vice chief of staff at Southwest Texas Methodist Hospital. He goes on to tell us that he was chairman of the Methodist Healthcare System Quality Improvement Committee at four of their facilities. He goes on to tell us in his addendum report that this addendum will specifically address the issue of responsibility for retained foreign bodies and his familiarity with the standards applicable to this issue. He talks about working with surgeons in hospitals as documented by his vita, as well as his experience on the quality assurance committees which he chaired.
What type of work with surgeons did he do? Did he do assist?
I believe what he did, because he has worked with many doctors regarding retained objects and other infections, is that he works intimately with them to address those issues which then are manifested.
But is there any indication in his vitae or his report that he's actually assisted a surgeon in the post-op procedures for identifying where there
is? Judge Casey, there is not. There is not. Straight response to the question, there is not.
Thank you, counsel.
But it still goes back to the original issue, and that is, what was intended by the passage? We had, for many in our state, a problem in our state. So the legislature, in its wisdom or lack thereof, you'll find people on both sides, passed a threshold saying that before you can proceed, there has to be a report to allow the judge, as the gatekeeper, to appreciate that this is not a frivolous claim. The difficulty really that I had again last evening in trying to prepare for today was looking at cases from all over the state, looking what this honorable court has done just this month, in this last month in two cases, looking at the cases coming out of San Antonio, looking at the cases coming out of the Supremes. I mean, this has now become a cottage industry. Every report. There was a recent article in one of our lawyers' journals in the last 30 days. There are law firms in our state that for every report, there is a challenge filed, regardless of whether or not it passes muster with this Court of Appeals or that Court of Appeals. This was a good faith effort by Dr. Berkowitz and by our office to attempt to reach the threshold, the minimal threshold of showing Judge Collier that this case had merit. Not that it would be successful, but that it had merit. And that's why there's this sort of tension that exists between these types of cases and the applicability of res ipsa, and whether or not we have to really have reports other than for causation, when all of us could generally agree that retractors should not be left in people's chests, sponges which do not dissolve should not be left in people's bodies, surgical needles should not be left in people's abdomens. These are matters that the Supreme Court in the 70s said are extreme, unusual circumstances, and they need to be treated with that respect. This is not a specialized case. This is another case where someone suffered additional surgeries, massive infections, because post-surgical. We are not here suggesting that Dr. Berkowitz can testify or offer an opinion about the procedure that he did to correct the problem that Ms. Peters had with her spine. We are dealing with a post-operative procedure where a gentleman who has served as chief of medicine, chief of the quality review committees, to set policy and practices and procedure for those facilities would have more knowledge than a layperson. And it is for those reasons, cumulatively, that we believe that Judge Collier exercised his discretion by denying the requests and the motions of the appellee. And that was to say, in his own words, in the transcript, Judge Collier asking, well, who's responsible? Who's in control? How many chiefs can you have in an operating room when a patient, whether or not it's Ms. Peters, whether or not it's myself or my wife or my family, trusts, placed under anesthesia, where do they turn? It's for those cumulative reasons that we ask this honorable court to deny the request of appellee at this time. Thank you very much.
Mr. Rich, Dr. Berkowitz states in his report that Dr. Bradley breached the standard of care by leaving a sponge in the surgical wound of Ms. Peters. And, you know, anybody could look at this, and it would be a human natural reaction to kind of just automatic reaction is, well, of course, you know, taking out the wrong lung or is you know, negligence, leaving a sponge is negligence. But suppose a qualified doctor studying the record says that the doctor in this case, or in Judge McCoy's hypothetical, did everything that a doctor would do under the circumstances, followed every procedure, but this still happened. Would you not agree that in a case such as that, where there was testimony such as that, that there could not be a finding of negligence?
Your Honor, there are cases where people of my size or larger have procedures, and where there might be some argument that apparatus, sponges, might be overlooked by the surgeon because of my size and because of the excess weight and everything else that I carry. But as a general rule, it is our position, and I think a fair position for this state, to say that when you trust yourself to a professional, allowing them to place you under anesthesia, that there's no guarantee. But when we're talking about an instrument, when we're talking about sponges, that should be noted, counted. In this particular case, Dr. Bradley himself noted on the records that he conducted the count. Whether or not it was sloppy, we don't know. All that we know was the result. So I understand the exceptions. I've got a lot of docs in my family, and we argue these things pretty much every weekend. But in this circumstance, an item was left there that was not intended to be left there, and our courts and our supremes in the 70s have recognized that that is something that is not acceptable.
Well, I'm not sure. I wouldn't disagree with that, but my question was more the whole reason we have standards of care is so, because things do happen sometimes that are outside the control of the best doctors who are following the standards of care, but that's why we have experts who testified to standards of care. And
but this one was within the control of this particular doctor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Ms. Faust.
Thank you, Your Honors. Briefly, just a couple of responses. With respect to the legislative intent, the Texas legislature and this court and every other court in the Texas Supreme Court has talked about the legislature and its findings and stated goals and purposes within Chapter 74 in enacting House Bill 4. And within Chapter 74, we have a requirement for an expert report at the stage by a qualified expert, and the legislature set forth the requirements to determine how a physician may be qualified to render an opinion on standards of care against another physician or in favor of another physician's care, Section 74-401. And in looking at those, as we've already presented to the court and within our briefing, Dr. Berkowitz just hasn't shown how anything within his CV brings him within the realm of having not the specific knowledge about what was required during the surgical procedure to prevent the retention of a sponge.
But this kind of gets back to a question Judge McCoy was asking, and I mean, you know, when you're inserting sponges, let me back up to say this: wouldn't the idea that you would do a sponge count post-op be such an elementary concept of care that practitioners in many different specialties would know it, it would be axiomatic within the medical profession, something that everybody learns in medical school kind of thing? And
If that is so, Your Honor,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Berkowitz doesn't tell us that within his expert report, and how can we assume that the number of sponge counts that had to be taken in this procedure were the same as the number of sponge counts that are taken in an appendectomy or are the same with respect to a cesarean section delivery? We don't know that. Dr. Berkowitz should have explained that. If it does overlap and they're all the same, numerous sponge counts are taken during any given procedure. They have to know how many they start with before the surgeon ever comes in the room. They have to know how many are inserted during the procedure and how many are called out as removed. And then they have to count those at the end to confirm that the end count matches the beginning count. Fortunately, Dr. Berkowitz doesn't tell us anything like that here. He just says Dr. Peters should have counted. And with respect to the statement of counsel that the records show that Dr. Bradley is the one that performed the count itself, I believe the records show that Dr. Bradley confirmed in his operative report, he confirmed the report that the count was correct. I don't believe that particular medical record that's contained before this court shows that he actually performed the count. With respect to the fact that a layperson would know that you don't leave a sponge in a patient, absolutely, we all know that. But things happen, as Justice Casey has pointed out. And the fact is that under 74-351A, we still have to have that threshold expert report by a qualified physician to say that, Dr. Bradley, you as a surgeon should have undertaken a count at specific points and times and didn't do so. And I know that these counts are undertaken at these times because I've performed surgery, I've assisted with surgery, or I've taught surgeons how to do surgery. If the standard applies to Dr. Bradley, then Dr. Berkowitz should have made that clear. He should have linked all the qualifications that counsel pointed out with in his CV within his report here, rather than just make a conclusory statement that because I'm qualified on the issue of what a patient requires with care when that patient has a retained object, that's after the fact. That's after the surgery. The plan, the petition, and mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor.
If we accept your position that Dr. Berkowitz is not qualified to give an opinion, and therefore there's no opinion, then would you consider that this case is a frivolous case?
Under the legal interpretation of frivolous, or does it have merit? Unfortunately, I would have to agree with that, Your Honor.
And you would also tell us that you're not on fair notice of what this claim is about?
Not by a qualified physician, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Faust. Mr. Rich, I appreciate you and your co-counsel appearing here this morning to present arguments in this case. Very well done. And the case is submitted, and you're all excused. Thank you.